It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good Friday morning. The Tigers are reportedly hosting some bigs this weekend. Penny Hardaway is scheduled to join us here in about 7 minutes or so to talk just about this offseason. Oh, and about the expansion of the NCAA tournament. The Grizz get set for Sunday's lottery. Andy Schiffman will join us in the second segment around 10:30. And then work is pressing on at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. What are the updates? What do they look like? Jarvis Greer sent me a whole bunch of pictures. It sure looks good. I know they're working on the windows on what is now the press box side. It used to be the suite side. So we'll check in with Jonah Dillon, who covers the Tigers for the Commercial Appeal, in our final segment. You know, even at the major league level, you can see sometimes, I don't understand how this happens, that fundamental baseball goes out the window. I don't know if you saw this last night. The Cubs won their ninth game in a row. They beat Cincinnati 8-3, but the Reds really contributed. The Cubs were leading 2-0 in the game and had bases loaded, one out. Ground ball, third baseman, he steps on the bag. They throw the ball to Tyler Stevenson, the catcher. He thinks all he has to do, this is a major league catcher, all he's got to do is touch the bag. He's got to tag the guy. Didn't realize that. Guy slides in. He thinks he's out of the inning. No, and the Cubs score 6 runs. They were already up 2-0, but that really piled it up. In the meantime, the Cardinals, this is going to be fun this year in that National League Central. The Cardinals were winners in San Diego, 1-0. They are now 7 games over 500. I don't think anybody would have figured the Cards to be 22-15. At this point in the season, they are 3.5 games behind the Chicago Cubs. The truest yesterday, now it rained 2.5 inches at Quail Hollow, which is really one of the more beautiful golf courses. And you got to, what do they call it, lift, clean, and cheat? Because they can give themselves a perfect lie. You give them perfect lies, you know what's going to happen. Left-hander, young 28-year-old Matt McCarty, 8-up Quail Hollow yesterday, 8-under 63. That's one better than Sung Jae Im. And something almost happened yesterday to Rory McIlroy. Rory had never in his entire career gone all 18 holes of a PGA tournament event with all pars. He'd gone through 17. He's playing 18, which, by the way, is a really tough hole. The only birdie that he had. So he did not make history, but he acted like he just won the tournament when he finally made a birdie on 18. I know many of us are excited about the World Cup that is coming up. I don't know, Landon Schmidt, if I were to say to you, guess what the best seats are going to cost, and really they're pretty much the only seats still available, FIFA has just put the price up of the best available seats for the World Cup final game. It will be at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on July the 19th. What do you think the best seats cost for this? We think Super Bowl tickets are high.
Let's say upwards of $10,000.
Try tripling that. The seats that are now available, obviously they've already sold a bunch, I suspect, at some sort of set price. But the seats that you could get right now for that final at MetLife on July the 19th are $33,000. For the semis, which are going to be in SoFi. No, they're also in New Jersey. I'm sorry. The semis, you can get tickets from $11,000 to what you would think is a reasonable $2,000, $2,725, so really almost $3,000. Seats for the opener for the United States against Paraguay, this will be in SoFi, you can get a top seat for $2,735. This is the first game against Paraguay. And the cheapest ticket, $1,120. Now, if you're a big soccer family, you're trying to take a whole bunch of kids to that game, there's no way. No way.
It's worse than a Disney trip.
Yeah. Well, people, they have gone crazy. FIFA says, well, that's what the market bears. That's what we're going to do. But, man, they're getting a lot of criticism across the world of sports for prices like that. You, like, even if it's just you're taking you and a buddy, $66,000 to see the final? You better be from Saudi Arabia using the PIF in order to afford that. That is absolutely nutso, that is for sure. Sitting here in the Family Leisure Studios, and a reminder, we still have what is called the Hot Tub and Swim Expo. However, we kind of have branded this the Battle of the Brands because there are seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. That's the truth. Hot tubs starting at under $3,500, those big, huge technical swim spas, they're under $17,000. If you mention Sports 56, you get a free cover lift for any of your spa purchases. So if you want to cash in on a good deal, now would be the time to do it. Tell them we sent you. You get that special extra thing. NBA last night, Pistons winners, up 2-0 over Cleveland. But you know what? That series doesn't really feel like it's over. Yeah, I say this all the time. Until you lose a home game, the series is never lost. But it just seems, I don't know, that seems competitive. Although I'll say this much, James Harden looks old, definitely old. Knicks up 2-0 on Philly. That just doesn't look like Philly's got any chance, especially if Embiid doesn't play. Then last night, OKC goes up 2-0 on the Lakers. The Thunder make their run when SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is on the bench. So that was a bit of a surprise, but that seems over. You know how you can tell something's over? Even though Lakers haven't lost yet at the Forum. When you complain about the refs, you got a problem. That's always a problem. So OKC is up, and I don't see that being different. And then this is going to be just a great series. Minnesota and San Antonio, that is tied up at one game apiece. And as I mentioned, we will have Andy Schiffman on in just a little bit to talk about all of that. So I mentioned earlier the stadium renovations going on, and Jarvis Greer sending me some pictures. It sure does look like this is going to be a cool setup for sure. You got a little halo there. I guess there's glass on the back of that tower. It is definitely going to be a first-class thing, and I think we all look forward to seeing that. We won't get to see it, really. They may have some sort of a press conference in the next few weeks just to sort of give you an update that we thought we would get when the spring game was supposed to take place. But we'll have to wait and see on that. But the pictures that I've seen sure does look like a cool thing. As we promised, Penny Hardaway joins us now. Good morning, Coach. There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, and we'll get into the roster and this crazy offseason that you've had already. But this is newsworthy. It became official yesterday that the NCAA tournament is expanding. Now, I don't know if this helps mid-majors or if it's just going to help the Power Five, but it is significant. Your thoughts on the NCAA getting bigger? Good morning.
It's okay. I'm old school. But, you know, it's such a great tournament. I hate to mess with it, but since they've already made the changes, I think it'll help the Power Five more. I don't think it'll help the mid-majors more. But, I mean, I'm happy if it helps the entire, you know, college experience for more teams to get in.
You I don't know if you saw this. Our old buddy John Calipari said, you know, he wasn't crazy about the expansion either, much like you. But he said if they are, then that mid-majors need to be given more leeway. It shouldn't all go to the bigger power schools. I got the sense that this was made for that, for the Big Ten and the SEC in particular.
Yeah, because and the Big East. I think the Big East teams that felt like they've gotten, you know, haven't been handled properly when it came on Selection Sunday. It gives them an opportunity to get more teams. And I just don't see it being in the best benefit of mid-majors more so than the Power Five schools.
You don't see the American getting an extra team in other words?
No, I really don't, because they don't respect the American enough. I wish they would, but they don't respect it enough.
All right, let's go to the end of last year, and you come back, and you have this press conference, and then you have maybe the craziest offseason I've ever seen with building a staff, building a team. Has this been your most laborious offseason ever?
Well, I want to first, you know, address this, because I never got a chance to address my coaches from last year.
Okay.
You know, Roy Rogers, Mike Davis, and J.J., Jermaine Johnson, will be with me forever. We gave the best coaching job that I felt like that we have ever had to give, because there was a lot of adversity on this team last year. You know, Roy Rogers did me a favor by coming in for 1 year. He always wanted to go back to the NBA. I locked in on him and just asked him to give me 1 year. Mike Davis, who just got a job at Mississippi Valley, definitely was going to give me his last year. I actually talked him into like an extra year, and he was always leaving. And Jermaine Johnson was ready to soar his wings. So those guys weren't fired. They were guys that were already moving on. It looked like it was a firing, and I know it announces that. But those guys were moving on regardless. And I have to say that first, because they did a wonderful job with me, with what we had. The reason why we got into that situation is because I was waiting on Dane, his waiver. We worked really hard with the compliance department to try to get Dane eligible. It didn't work. Really hurt my feelings, especially allowing these G League guys to come back into play after being in the G League and not letting Dane come back. And then PJ, we had to wait to see what PJ Haggerty was going to do. We went out and got guys that we felt like were going to get the job done. We didn't get it done. It falls on my lap. I've taken full responsibility for it. Ed and I have talked about it. Do I think it was firing worthy? No, I really don't. I don't think it was firing worthy. I think there's a lot of stuff that we have to do as a university, and we're doing that right now with the help of Dr. Hargrave and Dr. Ed Scott. We're working hard together to try to make this thing work and get it better. My job, Dave, has been going out in the community already this year for the last 3 weeks and fighting to get people back in the stands, man. Getting with the athletic department and putting a ticket deal together that will help us get more people back in the stands and make this Tiger basketball thing be how it used to be. This roster is a really good roster. We got a chance to start early, and we put some really good pieces together.
It seems as if, and I don't want to say in the past you didn't have a plan, but it seems as if you've really refined that plan with this particular roster build, where you've gotten a guy who we think could be an alpha. You've gotten role guys. You've gotten your point guard that seems to be a guy who can dish or score. Was there a real purpose with the way you put this roster together so far?
Yeah, there was definitely a real purpose. We put the names on the board that we wanted to go out to early. We didn't have to wait on anybody to see if they're going to come back or not. We really put ourselves in position to go after the guys that we wanted. And we actually got everybody that we wanted, with the exception of maybe two guys.
Hmm.
But that's pretty daggone good. I mean, I think that the guys that we really wanted, we got. And we built the team off, like I said, playmaking, got more shooting this year than we've had since Lester Quinones, Tyler Harris, and Landers Nolley.
That's pretty good.
Those were three of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life and that I've ever coached. And I played in the NBA, so those guys could shoot it. We're trying to get some guys that could be on the same page. You know, you're not going to find another Tyler Harris, another Lester Quinones, or Landers Nolley from a shooting perspective, but you can get close. And hopefully these guys will come in and help us. But it was a bit, and then now we're finishing off with the big. We got the forwards that we need, the wings that we need, and the guards that we need. Now we got to finish off with the bigs. And Cornelius is, you know, a great addition.
He's your start at that position. I hear you got a couple of guys in this weekend. Do you want to fill every position, all 15 guys, or would you sign one of the bigs that you are flirting with right now and keep a spot open like you did for Naquan Tomlin a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that's my plan, Dave, unless something sweet comes comes into play where we just can't help but go ahead and do the deal. I mean, it's going to take something, a very sweet deal, for us not to have 14. I think to get one more big is what we're looking for, and that'll get us at 14, and then we'll chill and see where that lands us in the future, unless we get an opportunity to sign somebody that we didn't think we'd have an opportunity to, like one of these fifth-year guys that a waiver goes through for them and they're eligible and we can get them. So that's probably about it.
You know, you mentioned eligibility. What do you think of the plan that has been proposed where student-athletes would get 5 years total, no red shirt, gray shirt, medical shirt, nothing? You get 5 years. If you play all five, great. If you don't, after 5 years, it's up. Would you go for that?
Yes, I would. I think that's protecting the field, Dave. I think that's not just looking at one person or a couple people who – and it will be unfortunate if guys have injuries throughout that 5 years and just only get a chance to play two or three. But for the majority in the field, good morning, the majority in the field, it would be great for, because they'll have an opportunity to not have to be able to transfer all over the place. They'll have to be committed to something, and I think that'd be good. And then you won't have all these older guys just hanging around just to get NIL.
I know you've gone and had dinner with a couple of people. I know you are really pressing it hard. You're talking about selling tickets, and I suspect you are gathering NIL money as much as you possibly can. Give me your ticket plan. You are going out and seeing people. What exactly are you doing?
We're actually putting it together, myself and Dr. Ed Scott and Tim Duncan in the athletic department. We both agreed, Dr. Scott and I, that we need to fill those seats up. We need to get it back to where it was, and I made the idea of going to the churches in town and meeting with the pastors and getting the pastors to commit to maybe buying a ticket, getting the next ticket free, or really, really good seat in the arena to fill those arenas up. There are a lot of Tiger fans that are in these churches, and we want to give them the ability and the opportunity to come to the games. And I have been nonstop moving since the season's been over, going around and meeting with people, you know, with NIL, and basically trying to get people to get back into the stands. Obviously, you got to have a product on the floor that everybody's going to be proud of. That's also what I'm doing, you know, just trying to raise enough money for all of us to just put a product on the floor that everybody's going to be proud of and get us past the first round.
What do you think it takes, NIL money, to win the American? What do you think it takes, NIL money, to make the Final Four these days?
Well, that's kind of a twofold question. It's a question that's kind of weird, because Kentucky has $20 million and they haven't gotten to a Final Four.
I know.
So it's not like that $20 million is going to get you to the promised land. It's going to give you an opportunity to have a team that can get you to the promised land. But I'm thinking to be competitive in everything, not just the AAC. I think in the AAC is going to take about seven. But overall, I think 10 is a great number. That's not sustainable, obviously. We're trying our best to just be as competitive as we can, because Dr. Hargrave and Dr. Scott both want to win. We want to win. And I'm thinking, just realistically, just watching and looking at the numbers on everybody that's at least getting to a Sweet 16, unless you get lucky, there hasn't been many teams under 10 that have actually done that.
So 10 to get to the Sweet 16, 7 to really
Sweet 16 or better. Now, 10 could get you to a Final Four.
Yeah.
It really could.
Well, you know, Texas spent $40 million on a football team last year. It didn't work. You mentioned Kentucky. You've got to have the money, but you got to spend it the right way, right?
Yeah, you do have to spend it the right way. What it does is it just affords you to put a product on the floor that everybody wants to see every night. And at the university right now, we're just fighting and scrapping. I'm out in the community meeting with a lot of people. Just trying to unite the city. I have a meeting with the mayor this month to try to pull the city together. My job before I leave the University of Memphis is to put this school back into position, or help put the school back into position where everybody's proud of. Well, we had the stands full, us making it to Sweet 16s, Elite Eight, Final Fours, and doing it. And that's what we all want.
I am curious. I know you're working close with Dr. Scott. What were your thoughts when he mentioned maybe coaches ought to start contributing to their own NIL?
I don't disagree with that. I think that that's happening around the country. He's not just speaking that, like, just to be speaking it. There are coaches, football coaches, I don't know how many basketball coaches, that have invested in themselves and invested in their own programs to assure that, you know, that they get the team that they need to get out there on the floor.
Chip Kelly.
And that's the main reason why I'm out in the community. I'm trying to raise as much money as I can for the athletic program, for our best men's basketball, again, to put the product out there that everybody wants. This city wants us to win. And, you know, we're not resting over here. We're going to keep pushing because at the end of the day, you have to have the money to put the roster out on the court that people want to see and have an opportunity to get to a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, or a Final Four.
How have those efforts gone? Do you think you're on?
No, we've had some success. I'm not done yet. I'm going to spend the entire summer and actually the entire season doing just that because that's what our city deserves. Our city deserves that. You know, I'm just going to, you know, just keep pushing as hard as I can all summer to build what we need to build and just keep trying to, after we get the roster set, then the next phase is to get people back in the stands. The athletic department is willing to work with people and, we just got to get that arena feel because just having that sixth man back, having people excited about Tiger basketball all over again. Because a couple years ago, even when we had PJ Haggerty, and we won 29 games in a regular season and the conference tournament, we really weren't a packed arena. We have got to get the arena packed again and get those people back and the fans back into the stands.
Your non-conference schedule is incredible. As always, this is like the third or fourth year in a row where you just take on so many top 25 teams. I noticed you did not get into that Vegas tournament. They got 24 teams. That's getting kind of tied up by the Big 12 and mostly Power 4 teams. That's the NIL tournament in Vegas where I guess teams get a lot of money for their players out of that deal. But there are other METs, multi-event tournaments that are going on. Have you guys figured that one out yet for this year?
We're going to the Bahamas.
Oh,
it's
going to
be us, Penn State, Wake Forest. We're going back to the Bahamas. I don't know what the other team's going to be, but we're going back to the Bahamas. Playing the University of Dayton in Chicago at Chicago Bulls Stadium. So, you know me, Dave.
I know.
Ever since I stepped on campus, except with the exception of the very first year when Coach Tubby already had a schedule pretty much together, from the second year on, I've just went after the heavy hitters. That's why we really have to get to 10 million. We have to get to the 10 million or 9 million because it's not just a conference. We know winning a conference is huge. We want to win conference championships. That's what we're about. Definitely to win conference, but for us to beat the Power Fours, we have to play them. You got to play them. You got to put a product on the floor. So that's why I'm always fighting for more because we don't play a cupcake schedule. Do I really feel like, and I don't think anybody could argue this, if we just played a cupcake schedule and played all these low-ranking teams around these teams that are not P4s, that are the low-major teams, and play the first 12 games and maybe have one hard P4 game, that we couldn't be 11-1 or 12-1 going into conference and win 25-plus games a year having an easy schedule, I really feel like we could. Even with last year's group, if we play a soft schedule, we're just not playing a soft schedule because we want to give ourselves multiple opportunities to get ourselves into the NCAA tournament. With non-con, having an automatic bid, and with the conference, actually winning conference tournament and having another opportunity there. So I'm always going to be that guy that's trying to put us in position to play the best of the best. But, again, we got to put the product on the floor that's going to be able to do it. And we've done that in the past, except with the exception of last year.
Is the Bahamas tournament Bahamar or Atlantis this year?
Atlantis.
Okay. Well, you're definitely willing to play anybody, anytime, anywhere. So I look forward to it. You're just about done with the schedule, aren't you? Now that you got this?
Yeah, we're just about done with it.
All right. Coach, I appreciate your time today. I know you're working hard. $10 million. That's a lot of money to raise. It must be killing your golf game.
Oh, yeah. My golf game sucks. But you know what? I'm going to do it for the city, man. That's my whole purpose. I'll get a chance to play golf when it's time, but for right now, I have to keep fighting, keep scrapping, man. We're all in this together.
All right, go get yourself a big guy. I know they're meeting you today, so we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dave.
That is the coach. That is Penny Hardaway, the University of Memphis head coach on a lot of different fronts. He's brought to you in part by Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Spensdorf. You gotta have the strategist, the point guard, like Penny says, you know. And the other aspect of it is you You know, you always have to have a plan. You got to have a plan, but work the plan. Execute the plan. And that is exactly what Sheldon will do. He's been doing it for over 40 years, working 365, 24/7, spreading the gospel with this strategic marketing program that just is always working. He's a guy, he's like Penny, he's not playing any golf. He'd love to, but he doesn't have time to because he's always working on you. And he'll tell you, call two or three real estate brokers, just make sure he's one of them. Once you hear about the strategy, once you've seen how many people he's gotten to the closing table quickly for the most money, you want to talk, 483-0546 or MemphisRelocate.com. That's Sheldon, MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. We're going to Chicago in a minute. Andy Schiffman standing by. We talk NBA with our agent from Priority Sports. He's around the corner.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin. All we hear is
we're heading to Chicago in a minute. Our agent Andy Schiffman with Priority Sports will join us. He's brought to you by Southern Security. Are you getting the best rate on your mortgage at Southern Security? They can offer the lowest rates. They're not for profit. They can do things other banks cannot do. They have flexible terms, no PMI, and the best service. I promise you. Go to their new site. By you want to talk about technology in Collierville. It's amazing. You can refinance your current mortgage with the Mid-South Beth lender by simply going online at southernsecurity.org, or you can call and talk to a human being at 901-452-7900. Seven locations. That makes it so easy to be a part of the Southern Security family. Federally insured by NCUA, Southern Security is your home team credit union. We go to Chicago. Andy Schiffman, I understand, is not feeling 100%. That's going around everywhere, I can promise you. I'm feeling under the weather myself a little bit. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Dave. I appreciate it. Just hopefully I will not be coughing up a lung today.
Please do not. I would. All right, so we got the lottery on Sunday. Are you, as a guy who's been with a team before, you know, the University of Memphis, and you understand strategies, you deal with a lot of general managers, are you a best athlete or best guy at that position philosophy?
I think it's very subjective. And it's a great question, right? If you're drafting in the lottery, I think there are common denominators across all of the lottery teams that each of these teams covet when drafting that high, right? Like you want to draft on quote unquote upside. So you're naturally going to target a younger player. I think one sort of physical profile, Dave, that is in vogue in the NBA today, and you see teams that have had success building around this sort of player, like the Thunder, like for sure Boston, these big, strong 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", athletic, switchable, physical, versatile wings that can pass, dribble, and shoot versus this is the best three-point shooter in college basketball at 45%, and he's 6'4", but he's not going to be a guy to blow by you or struggle defensively. Like, those guys will be drafted, but they're not going to be necessarily lottery picks. Because in this draft, you've got the likes of players that fit that exact profile in a Darren Peterson from Kansas, in a Cam Boozer from Duke, A.J. DeBanster from BYU. A lot of those players I just named are that prototype. And so if I'm drafting, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong. I think you want versatility at that position. I think if you can get a player, let's say like an A.J. DeBanster who's long, who's athletic, who's 6'9", the one hole in his game is probably perimeter shooting. But again, like we've seen time and time again where young players come into the league, that improves over time. There's different spacing in the NBA. I think that really benefits a guy like A.J. and the way he likes to play. And so for me, I just think like, in this specific draft, Dave, it's not necessarily like compartmentalizing what you talked about, those two things specifically. I think you can really find both because the top part of this draft is so very, very talent deep, let's say, and you get past the top seven or eight picks, there is a bit of a drop-off. Everyone talks about how deep this draft is. I don't necessarily know if it's that deep. I just think the top picks in this draft are all extremely, extremely valuable players who have a really bright future in the NBA, who any one of these guys I just named could be all-stars. Whereas in years past, you may see one player emerge as an all-star, but you have a number of players that are just very good players. So if I'm looking at it, I'm looking at let's go out there and get the best available player that necessarily fits that prototype. Now, and I know I keep rambling about this, but for example, if it is a team like a Boston Celtics, a team like them, I'm not saying Boston's picking that high,
right,
where you already have on your roster that sort of player, and all of a sudden you've got a Ja Morant-type point guard sitting there available to be drafted that high, then naturally, if you need a point guard, you're going to go that direction versus taking as good of a wing who might be out there available if you don't really need that because you already have three or four players on your roster that are going to take the minutes in the rotation at that spot. You're not going to draft that position because the other piece of this is, as good as some of these players are, if you're already deep at that position, you don't want to necessarily draft that player and be unable to really play him for his first year because he's going to be sitting behind some other already, you know, established wing players, and you slow down his development. Whereas you could have taken another young player with a lot of upside that's already very talented and continue to grow that player, develop that player, and within two or three years, you have an NBA All-Star in your hand.
So in the case of the Grizz, if I'm following you correctly, let's say they get 1-4, which is possible via the lottery. You would say go with the Bansa, Peterson, Boozer, or I'll say Caleb Wilson, because I think that guy can be pretty good. But their biggest need is probably going to be point guard if they get rid of Ja. So if they're below 4, say 6, which is where they're supposed to be, 7 or 8, that's where you go for a point guard. And there's so many good ones with Acuff or Flemings or Wagler. Those guys are all really good guys.
Yep. Look, I'm a huge Kingson Flemings fan, and he comes from the University of Houston. He's coached by Kelvin Sampson. Everyone in college basketball and the NBA respects the defensive mentality that Kelvin Sampson instills in his players. And I think if you're the Grizzlies, I think Kingson Flemings would be a great get, a great fit for the Grizzlies because, you know, look, where you're at right now organizationally, you need an identity. And you've seen these other teams that have had success kind of in this rebuild mode hang their hat on the defensive piece. You're seeing that now with the Pistons, and I still can't get over how they came back to beat Orlando and what they're doing defensively now. I mean, the last 4 wins they've had, I think they're, except for one game last night, they're winning and keeping their opponents under 100 points, well into 100 points. And they're hanging their hat on defense. And they're not necessarily, outside of Cade Cunningham, they don't have that go-to superstar on the wing to go out there and get a bucket. But they're doing it defensively. And I think Kingson Flemings, as good of an offensive talent as he is, he's also going to be a great on-ball defender that can grow into a really pivotal role for a Grizzlies team, let's say. You mentioned Darius Acuff, obviously extremely, extremely talented. I think if he were there, let's say the Grizzlies remain picking at 6, you can't go wrong with that piece. So I agree. I think either of those players would be great. You have to assume if you're staying at 6, Dave, for the Grizzlies, if you're Memphis, you're not going to have a shot at the Bansta. You're probably not going to have a shot at Darren Peterson. So I think there's a real possibility that a guy like Flemings or Acuff, either of those guys could be there if the Grizzlies remain at 6. And I think they're both great options.
You never know where a great superstar is coming from. SGA was number 11, okay? So,
yep.
And he's about to be back-to-back MVP, I think. Out of these guys, you mentioned 3 in particular with DeBansa, Peterson, and Boozer. Who do you think is the lock to become a great NBA All-Star?
Well, first off, I'm a huge Cam Boozer fan. I'm going to remove him from those 3 based on your question. And we've kind of talked about that in the past, you and I think you would agree. If you're comparing it to a Darren Peterson and A.J. DeBansta, I just think those guys are the total package. Now,
more athleticism.
Say that again?
More athleticism.
More athleticism, versatile. I've watched a ton of both guys. I have a player Well, my own client, Richie Saunders on BYU, who's here in Chicago preparing for the draft, the kid that tore his ACL a few months ago. So I watched a ton of BYU and AJ DeBanston. And again, like, I don't want to sit here and say, okay, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. I think the one knock on him, like I said, is perimeter shooting and necessarily to decision making. But I think he had the ball in his hands so much at BYU that he was really asked to do a lot. So I think in the NBA, that pressure comes off him a little bit, which will help him. I just think he is, he's young. He's extremely long and athletic. He knows how to use the athleticism in the lane. He's a guy, Dave, that can catch the ball at the elbow and without even taking a dribble, pivot and get to the rim because he's just so freakishly long and athletic. He's a very good finisher. And you think about where he could be 2-3 years down the road at that size, it's really scary to think about. So I think he can absolutely become an NBA All-Star. Is it going to happen right away? I don't see that. And then Derek Peterson is just a bucket. The guy can score every which way. He's extremely confident. He's more of a guard necessarily than like a bigger wing. But he is extremely athletic. He's extremely quick. He can shoot the lights. He can shoot lights out. I think it's a toss-up between the two. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at today's NBA, just historically the last few years, Dave, the way the game goes, I think it definitely favors DeBanksta. Just if you get a guy like AJ and have the ball in his hands, he's someone that can take it off the glass and bring it down the court and just with a full head of steam get going downhill and make a play. And with that size and athleticism, if you match him up with smaller guards, you have a real, real advantage on the perimeter. Not to say you can't do that with a guy like Darren Peterson, but I think with AJ's size and his versatility, if he can hold his own defensively and guarding multiple positions, I would probably put him a little bit ahead of Peterson in that regard. But I think either of those guys could turn into NBA All-Stars for sure.
Last thing, you were talking about fit before. Taylor Jenkins gets the job in Milwaukee. Some of their success may end up being on whether Giannis Antetokounmpo decides to stay or not. But what kind of a fit, what kind of a hire was Taylor Jenkins from Milwaukee?
Well, look, if you remember, he was already in Milwaukee.
Right.
I think I love Taylor. I've always loved Taylor. I think he's a very good coach. Now, I wasn't privy necessarily to the ongoings of what happened in Memphis and his departure necessarily. I think he's a great fit for what the Bucks need to do, which is really rebuild, right? Because look at what he did in Memphis, very similar. Now, I think when he took over Memphis, he had a lot more talent to coach, obviously taking over with Desmond Bane and Ja and Jaren Jackson. And in Milwaukee, the big question mark is Giannis. I still think they find a way to move him this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What do they get in return? They better get some first-round draft picks out of it, and we'll see what else they can get. But let's say they do get a couple first-round draft picks and maybe a player or two, what have you. I think Taylor has already been in that position in Memphis and knows how to instill a culture of winning and rebuilding and focus on development, which is what Milwaukee needs if they're going to kind of build around a young core, which they don't have right now. They had some good pieces this year. Ryan Rollins had a really good year. We have Bobby Portis there, who's been a staple there. I think he could be traded. We'll see. But if you're Milwaukee, you're going to have a lottery pick. We'll see what happens there. I think they're slotted around 10th right now. Will that change? We'll see what happens Sunday. If they can get some really nice young players or draft assets for Giannis, then it's all about putting Taylor in position, giving him the resources to develop those players into rotational, reliable NBA players where you can look up, let's say, 2 to 3 years from now and say, now we're a playoff team and we're only continuing to improve and we've got the right leadership, we've got the right culture, because right now they just don't have that. There's too much volatility there.
Yep.
So I'm excited for Taylor. I hope he does a good job there.
I think he will. I really do. Andy Schiffman, I hope you feel better. We thank you. You're a trooper for not being 100% and still coming on, and we'll do this again. We'll know some draft positioning. The lottery is taking place Sunday. We'll know more next Friday. Thank you.
Sounds good. And how about those Cubbies?
How about 9 in a row, baby? 15 in a row in Wrigley. Woo! Love
that's
it.
Right.
Thank you, Andy.
Take care.
That is Andy Schiffman, our agent in Chicago, brought to you by Miramichi. You know what the name Miramichi means? It is the place of happy retreat. Sometimes you got to get away. If you're going to play a golf game, why not do it amongst beauty? and challenge. And that's what you get, and it's not that far. It's not in Millington. It's in Woodstock. It's 25 minutes away from my driveway in East Memphis. And they've got all kinds of things that are great. Not just the best practice facilities, but an opportunity for memberships. It's just the perfect way. The facilities, the deck on top of 9 and 18 with the best view in Shelby County. If you want to learn the game, if you want to just enjoy the game, the best place to go, in my estimation, that would be Mira Amici. Go check it out. We take a break. When we come back, we will end our week by going downtown to talk with the beat writer for the Tigers on football. From the Commercial Appeal, Jonah Dillon is next.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome back in. We're going to go downtown and chat with our beat writer for the Tigers football team from the Commercial Appeal, Jonah Dillon, in a minute. He is the Cadillac of beat writers when it comes to football, and he's brought to you by Cadillac Landers Cadillac of Memphis. If you haven't been and seen that new showroom, please go. Tell them we sent you. You'll love what you see. And remember, they pay top dollar for trades. They do that at Landers Cadillac, but they do that at all the Landers stores. You want the best buck for your trade-in? You go see the Landers people. You can also save even more by going with the Landers Easy Pass at Landers at CadillacofMemphis.com. So go check it out. The best new Cadillac models always sell fast. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. Downtown we go. And Jonah Dillon, I saw some pictures of the work being done at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I'm pretty sure it's all going to be ready by the time this thing starts in September. What's the info you're getting on the stadium and all of the updates? Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, it's like you said, they're still on track. Obviously, this process has been going on for a couple years now, a couple football seasons of the Liberty Hole, looking at a half-finished stadium, and everything's still on track, obviously, to be completed before the season starts this season.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Anybody who's taken the tour has told me how wowed they are. So, and they need to be because, you know, I think you really got about 1,000 to 1,300 seats in that area with those hard chair backs below where the party deck's going to be. But that used to be about 15,000 seats, so these are definitely going to be premium and should be a lot of fun to see just how cool this whole thing is. In the meantime, I loved your Mike Montgomery story. Here's a guy who got hurt in high school, was going to be a P4 kind of a guy, and because of the injury, ended up at a small school. But my gosh, he has persevered. You say he's about as close to a lock of being a starter as anybody on the team?
Yeah, I mean, it looks to me, obviously, we talked about this, I think, before, the linebacker room next to him, there's not a lot of proven production. But when you look at the defense, and really you look at the roster as a whole, in terms of proven production, I mean, this is a guy who had 105 tackles last year at Southern Miss. You know, that's an FBS level. A lot of times when we look at these transfers, we're talking about, okay, somebody put up numbers at the FCS level, they put up numbers at the Division II level, or, you know, maybe they were at a power conference school, but they didn't play a lot. This is proven production at the FBS level, which is really rare for a group of six school, right, to have somebody like that coming in. And I think he's poised to maybe have an even better season this year. He's going to be kind of at the heart of everything this defense is going to do, and he's going to be tasked with, you know, making all the checks, calling the plays, and doing stuff like that. And so really, it feels like when you look at the defense, you have to start there with right at the center with Mike Montgomery, and I think he's going to be a really interesting piece for this team in 2026.
Well, what also is interesting, the guy that was next to him at Southern Miss, he went to a P4 school, and yet Mike wanted to stay with Charles Huff and the former defensive coordinator who's now going to Georgia Tech, but he still stayed loyal to Charles because I think Mike Montgomery had other opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, he told me that he basically went in the portal and he kind of shut down his recruitment and said, I'm going to go to Memphis. That was his decision. He wanted to go with Charles Huff the whole time. But if you look at, again, the production and kind of his background as a big-time recruit who then proved that he could perform at a certain level and obviously overcame that broken ankle that he had when he was in high school, he was someone who obviously could have played at the Power Conference level. And so, again, when you look at the team and you look at the roster and you look at the proven production, this is somebody, and there are other guys on the defense, particularly Ian Foster, who also had significant Power Conference interest. Right. But someone who played really well and was set up to potentially do that and obviously has that relationship with Charles Huff. We heard Charles Huff talk about it a lot throughout the spring. Relationships matter, and obviously it did in this case.
Is there a great American team? I mean, if you had to pick today, based, you know, and you really need to see fall camp, but based on what you kind of know, who's the favorite to win the American this year?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't think there's a right answer at this point. I think you could make the case for a lot of different teams. I think probably Memphis and South Florida would be the two that get the most attention because of the investment in those programs and just where they are resource-wise. I think Tulane would have been, but obviously questions about where they're going to be with Will Hall as their new coach and obviously a lot of new players as well. So I think you can look at the top, you know, five or six teams in this conference and, you know, convince me that each one of them is the top team in this conference right now. And you could also look at every one of those teams and poke holes in their team and say, there's not enough proven production. There's questions about the coach. There's questions about the quarterback, things like that. And so it's going to be really interesting as we get closer to the start of the season to try to figure out where everyone lands and what this pecking order really is going to look like.
Well, so many top flight coaches left, as we all know, including the Tigers. So it's hard to get a feel there. Now, East Carolina, I thought, was a team that might be emerging, and they stayed pretty static, didn't they?
Interesting one, because obviously they kept their coach in Blake Carroll, and yeah. So look at these top teams, and a lot of them lost a coach, but they lost both their coordinators, and they lost a lot of their top players, most of their top players, which isn't necessarily unique in terms of the American and players constantly leaving, right?
Right.
But there's a lot of turnover. So yes, there's some consistency in terms of the head coach, but to lose both your coordinators and then lose most of your proven production, you know, there's as many questions about them as there are about all these other teams.
All right, let's turn our attention to another beat that you have, the Memphis Grizzlies. They have Lottery Sunday coming up, and they can be anywhere from 1 to, I guess, 12 or something like that. The odds are pretty good. They'd stay at around 6. That's what usually happens with a 6 pick, or it even goes up. I don't believe it's gone down very often. Could easily go 1 to 4, though. I mean, just by weird stuff. If they were 1 to 4, which way do you think they go? Who would they go after?
Well, that's $1 million question. I guess more than $1 million, actually, in terms of how much it's gonna be. I mean, look, it obviously depends within the top four where you are, right? What options do you have?
Right.
I think you look at all the guys at the top, and this is a team when you know, obviously they're rebuilding, and so they're trying to stockpile talent, but they're also trying to stockpile talent that can grow and can grow it. You know, obviously if you have a pick in the top three or four of this draft and you look at the people that are going to go there, right, the Cam Boozers, AJ DeBonses, Darren Peterson, guys like that, you're looking to try to get a star. And when you're the Grizzlies, obviously you're trying to build a core together. You're trying to add a piece to the core. And a lot of these other teams, I mean, we'll see obviously who ends up in the top four of the lottery, who ends up picking up there. Some of those teams, if it's in Indiana, they're going to be looking for more of a plug-and-play type person, right? Because they're a team that wants to compete right away once they get Tyrese Halliburton back. The Grizzlies, it's going to be different. And so I'm interested to see not only where they end up, obviously, but if you end up in the top four and there are some of those other teams up there with you, that's going to affect the way the draft falls. And it might affect who's available and where you can kind of go from there.
I think your top three, you're either going to go, maybe even four, you're going to go with the best star. You're going to go Peterson, DeBanza, Boozer, Wilson, okay? But if you go beyond that, if you go to your pick at 6, which statistically you should get, wouldn't you want to go with a point guard if you're getting rid of Ja, considering you've got Flemings and you've got Acuff and you've got the Wagler kid from Illinois? Those three guys are all really good point guards, and that'll be a position to need.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, but also, like you said, I mean, a lot of times you look at this draft and there's so much talent there, you want to just stockpile who's the best player, right? And there's every reason to think that, especially when you're the Grizzlies, you have another pick coming up later in the first round, right?
True.
And so if you do have a specific need, you can say, okay, let's take one of these picks, draft the best player, and then try to fill the need on the back end, which makes sense. Obviously, you have to decide, you know, who's going to be available there and stuff like that. All those guys are potential stars, and that's the thing is, like, you know, Darius Acuff could be someone who you could build your team around, right? Obviously, you never know. That's the whole point of the draft. You draft guys, and then you hope they develop the way you want them to. But there's a chance that they could, even if they pick at 6 or 7, that they could get a star player there, right? There's no reason why that can't happen. And so you got to think about all those things when you're making those decisions. Yeah.
Well, and you never know either. SGA was the 11th overall pick in his year, so... Stars come from every single area. That is for sure. My friend, as always, we appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk again next Friday.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you. That is Jonah Dillon from the Commercial Appeal. So, weekend's here. Wow. We thank Penny Hardaway. We thank Andy Schiffman and Jonah Dillon. Usual on Monday, it'll start with TJ Reeves. We got Mike DeCourcy coming your way, and the usual cast. Looking forward to all of that. Have a great weekend, everybody. Johnny Radio is next.